So I got to go to career day at Sophia School.
So you know what you want to be when you grow up?
I do. I know what I want to be when I grow up.
Okay.
But so my adventure was getting to talk all about being a pastor to kindergartners for...
In a public school setting.
In a public school setting. So that's all fun. About being a pastor without ever mentioning God.
It's complicated.
To kindergartners.
When we pray to Schmod.
Right, for 8 to 10 minutes at a time.
So how many kids did you secretly baptize in this, you know...
Only five.
Spray. Only five?
Yeah, only five. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
The counselor was right there.
Sure.
Nacho Libre
Hard
moment.
Hard to sneak out the holy water.
You had to distract them. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Hey, look over there. Yeah. Somebody's wearing an offensive t-shirt.
Is that tobacco products?
Baptize, baptize, baptize. Also, I should say, I'm totally fine with public school. It's not how we talk about God. I should really clarify.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right.
Excellent. Thanksgiving week. Here we are.
A week of celebrations.
You're not ready for it?
No, I'm not.
Black Friday
I have not even.
Already.
So we leave for Disney World on what is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, which is in a few days, and I have not even begun to think about it.
Okay.
So it's a very last minute.
So by the time this comes out, you'll be in Disney World.
Yes, I will. Right.
You want to give out your home address so we can all raid your home?
Sure. What's your address?
It's my address?
Yeah.
No, I'm not
doing
that.
I'll give out that one.
I'm not that silly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not falling for your mind
That's
tricks.
That's pretty exciting. So heading to Disney World.
Are you doing like the whole thing?
No, because Disney World has gotten very expensive in the past 2 years. So we're doing two of the parks.
Even before that, it was pretty expensive.
It was already expensive, but now it's like, wow. Yeah. You are really nickel and diming me on this.
Well, I think because the demand has been so high, there's only one thing they can do is just keep raising the rates to keep less and less people buying tickets.
Yeah.
Is that what they want to do? They want fewer people to buy tickets? That doesn't seem...
Well, they're limiting access.
You don't want over a certain amount in the park because then all the lines are too long and things like that and everybody complains.
So don't you just say sold out?
But people don't like that either because then don't get to go to Disney World when they want to go.
No, but
they are
doing that now. They're limiting it for COVID. There's a certain number that they cap it at. And so we weren't able to go like the first 3 days. They were all sold out. So our first day is on Thanksgiving. But we get there on Monday before Thanksgiving.
People are the worst.
Yeah.
For going to Disney World reservations.
Not for Disney, just in general.
Yeah.
Humanity, we're the worst.
I don't like us very much.
You're not wrong.
We're terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Thanksgiving, everybody's excited.
Yeah.
I have a longstanding opinion, and that is Thanksgiving is, it's fine.
It's the worst holiday. I will say that.
Out of all the big ones, any holiday you get a day off, I mean, maybe Columbus Day, but like any holiday you get a day off, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It means the exact same to me as like an Arbor Day, and that it means
Arbor
nothing
day.
To me.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, so to me, it's all the expectations of like Christmas, but without the presents. And I like presents.
I get better food at Thanksgiving than I typically get at Christmas. That's not true. We get good food.
This is where I land on the Thanksgiving meal.
You don't like the Thanksgiving meal. Get over
it's
it.
Not
I get
good.
It. Yeah, that's fine.
And there's a reason we all agree it's not good because nobody makes
every
that stuff.
Every single year.
Yeah, I remember
nobody
this
makes that stuff any other time of the year. Okay. You're not making green bean casserole in April.
Listen.
And it's all there at the grocery store. It's right there staring at you, and you're not making it because it's not that good.
If you want to have your own podcast that rants about your hatred of Thanksgiving, you are welcome to do so. That's not what we're here for.
All right. That's actually not. We're not talking about Thanksgiving this
Thank
week.
Thank goodness.
But quick, what are you thankful for?
Oh, no.
What am I
this
thankful
is a Katie
for?
Tradition, right? We have hold hands
Katie, yeah.
and say we're thankful
in,
for.
In honor of Katie. We're not going to hold hands, though, because COVID.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
What are we thankful for? I will be thankful for my family. I get to go first.
You know, whenever somebody asks me this question, it's like my entire mind blanks and I have nothing I've ever been thankful
I'm
for.
I'm not thankful for anything.
What's my name? I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
It's totally like freeze up. I guess I'm thankful for my job.
There you
year.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thankful for our Beyond Sunday family.
Aww.
All the listeners out there.
I'm thankful for that, too.
Yeah. I said it first, though.
I'm thankful for 90% of the listeners out there. No, that's not true. I'm thankful for all of you.
Thankful for every single Russian bot we've got.
All right. I've got some news.
All right.
Some Pop-Tart news.
Pop-Tart news.
I like Pop-Tarts and I like news.
That's my first question. Do you like Pop-Tarts?
I mean, I don't like buy Pop-Tarts in the store, but if Pop-Tarts were presented to me for a breakfast option, I'd probably eat one.
That means that's a shame purchase every now and then. They just fall into the shopping cart.
I have never in my life purchased a Pop-Tart from the store. I have purchased a Pop-Tart from a vending machine.
Are you for real right now?
A vending machine?
Yeah. The vending machine at our seminar used to have Pop-Tarts as one of the things that was in the vending machine.
I guess you are getting like two. Yeah. When you buy the Pop-Tarts, you buy a Snickers. It's just a one Snickers bar. Yeah.
The Pop-Tart. It's like the Twix of breakfast foods.
It's the stale.
No,
Pop-Tart.
It's like the Pop-Tart. Like because you buy the Pop-Tarts and they're individually wrapped. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
So, and then because this is also like a vending machine that like for people who needed like a quick lunch on the go and things like so there are
so Pop-Tarts.
That was one of the options. It was usually like a breakfast thing, but there would be Pop-Tarts in there. There
or
would
like
be
a
like
weird
bigger
sandwich.
Snack yeah. thing.
You know, that, I don't know how long that's
there
really
wasn't
been
usually
there.
Sandwiches. They had a you know, anyway, okay. It doesn't matter. But yeah.
Well, anyways.
I enjoy Pop-Tart. Strawberry. It's the best one.
I do buy them at the store. I will own it.
Good for you.
What flavor do you get?
So I really like brown sugar cinnamon.
That's what used to be in the vending machine.
Aww, that is the correct choice, is the brown sugar cinnamon.
They're good. They're tasty.
I like them. This is a throwback to my childhood. I like them with slices of sharp cheddar cheese on top.
No.
Interesting.
Super good.
No. Cheddar cheese on my apple pie vibes.
Yes. It's the all same right. sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. The little savory it. Sweet. I did.
Yeah. Okay. No.
I would be. I would be willing to try it.
Not a thing.
Some judgment do you, from this corner.
I'm not interested in trying it.
Like,
at
do you
all?
Melt the cheese?
Yeah.
As you
so
warm
you
can
toast the Pop Tart, and then you put thin sliced sharp cheddar cheese like from a block on top of it and it kind of melts to it.
Okay, so you don't like put the cheese in the, I mean obviously not in a toaster, but you don't put the cheese in the oven or something like that.
No.
You just let the warmth of the Pop-Tart
yes, yeah.
do its thing.
It's freaking delicious. You're okay. welcome.
I'm going to say this. I thought I had something like, hey, this is a weird thing about Pop-Tarts.
Did I just top it?
And yeah, like I don't even know, should we go there? That it might not be good enough. So first up, Pop-Tarts being sued.
Uh-huh.
Strawberry Pop-Tarts. You want to know why?
Not actually strawberries.
False advertising. Not strawberries. It's being sued by this New York attorney, Spencer Sheehan, who has more than 400 lawsuits right now going against products in the grocery store for false advertising.
This guy needs something to do.
I know.
Well, I mean, I think there is something to do there. If you buy a strawberry Pop-Tart, there's maybe some level of expectation it contains strawberries.
Are there no strawberries in it?
Less than 2% of the filling is strawberry.
Do they list strawberries as an ingredient?
Yes. But
probably
in the
low
less
down,
than
t- yeah.
Yes. He's also
it's all artificial flavoring and whatever.
It's all artificial flavoring. And pear. And like the amount of strawberries in a strawberry Pop-Tart is pretty equivalent to the amount of pear and apple in a strawberry Pop-Tart.
Huh. Okay, I'm gonna be real
I'm
for
okay
a
with
second.
This.
Yeah, I don't care what's in it. I care what it tastes like. So if it's a strawberry Pop-Tart and it tastes like strawberries, I'm fine.
I don't look at a Pop-Tart and think to myself, man, there are lots of real, genuine strawberries.
This is my
in that
fruits
thing,
and right? vegetables.
Yes, but I think there are probably some families who think that is a health option.
Is that on Pop-Tart? Is that their fault?
I'm just saying, look, yeah. if you're a poor family in a food desert and
oh,
you go
now
to the
we're
store.
Feel bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's also been suing Hint of Lime Tostitos.
Hint of Lime?
Because there's
no actual lime juice.
No hint of lime.
Yeah.
It is a hint of lime. It's just hints towards it. It doesn't have actual lime.
A red herring.
A red herring of lime Tostitos.
Yeah. Also suing the vegetable hot dogs. Like the meat, because they're not made of vegetables.
What are they made of?
Yeah.
Even worse things than the real hot dogs, I suppose. Yeah. All right. So that's my first part. But the second part that I found most interesting is now Pop-Tarts are being sold as a package with butter for buttering your Pop-Tarts.
Oh.
Hey.
Okay. Whoa. Cheddar cheese over here is giving us a, butter, gross.
But butter is just putting more of what's already in the Pop-Tart.
Put strawberries on there and then you're good.
All right, if you had like a strawberry Pop-Tart and you know if it'd be kind of like a, I don't like a Danish, what's the right pastry that I'm looking for here, like a buttered English muffin that you put a little strawberry jelly on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that,
like a biscuit with butter and strawberry jelly. I could do that. Yeah, so this is a new thing for people who put butter on their Pop-Tarts. Let us know, listeners. Do you put butter on your Pop-Tarts?
Sure.
I do not. If I'm eating a Pop-Tart, I'm eating it as is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you toast? I mean, if you were going to eat your seminary Pop-Tart, do you toast it or are you just like
My seminary Pop-Tart, I ate it cold because I was grabbing it from a vending machine and running to class.
And crying.
Yeah.
Existential crisis breakfast. Right.
So it does come with three flavors. Strawberry, brown sugar, cinnamon, or frosted chocolate fudge. These are three Pop-Tart flavors. Plus it comes with three exclusive butter blends, or six exclusive butter blends.
I do like a
butter. So I'm going to give you these six and you tell me what's
Is there any real butter in the butter blend?
To my knowledge,
who's this?
Is from the from Banna Butter. That's the name of the company.
Banna.
Yeah.
Banna. Yeah.
I need Land O'Lakes.
All right.
Yeah.
This is what they're combining here: honey habanero.
Okay.
Sea salt.
Sure.
Strawberry. Chocolate.
Strawberry butter. No, and no chocolate butter. Mm-mm.
Chocolate butter, I could get down with.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yes. So let me give you the six, and then we can go from this. Okay.
I'm not going to remember number one if we do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember any of these if we comment on rival. Cinnamon.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Cardamom and ginger.
No, that's snooty butter.
Balsamic fig.
Oh yeah.
And caramelized onion.
Okay, so the last two.
Though?
Yeah, no, that onion one is like, that is a non-starter. Like, yeah. that is not an option at all.
Not on a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
But I would take some caramelized onion butter, like in, I don't know.
Like in general for your roll.
Yeah, if I got dinner and they served it.
For a dinner roll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, sure, that makes sense. Not on a breakfast thing.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, on the right breakfast thing. On
if you gun to my head, cheddar cheese or caramelized onion butter.
Caramelized onion butter.
I might just say, I've had a good life. You know, like.
It was a good run. Yeah. I'm prepared to meet my Lord and Savior.
I will bring cheddar cheese and Pop-Tarts one day to this.
Do it. We'll do a live on-air tasting because people love the sound of Patrick eating cheddar cheese Pop-Tarts. That's what they want. Yes.
So which of those combos are you doing? What are you building here in your Pop-Tart?
Okay, what are the flavors of the Pop-Tarts?
There was a honey.
Strawberry, brown sugar cinnamon, chocolate fudge.
Okay, brown sugar cinnamon with the fig balsamic.
Okay.
I could see the strawberry with the fig balsamic. I could also see the strawberry with the honey habanero.
Yeah, I am probably going the
sweet heat.
The brown sugar cinnamon with the honey habanero, I think.
Brown sugar cinnamon with the honey habanero.
Because I think cinnamon can also be a little, can have a little kick to it. So I want that, you know, double kick.
I think I want my Pop-Tart to be spicy, though.
Look.
I like a little spice in my Pop-Tart.
Elise, we had, you know, a pizza off, and you like my hot honey on the pizza.
I did.
Yes.
That's true.
So that was
another friend podcast that you all did.
Yes.
For a cool guy. Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's our Pop-Tart news. So when when you're thinking like, do I really want to make a turkey that takes 6 hours?
Nah.
Or do I want to throw some butter on a Pop-Tart?
Pop-Tart. Happy Thanksgiving, listeners. Right. You're welcome. Yes. There's going to be a run on Pop-Tarts now because of our podcast.
Yeah.
Supply chain.
You might actually have to buy one from the store for the first time in your life.
Yeah.
Nah.
Or from a dusty old coin-operated vending machine.
What other kind of operated vending machine do you have?
They take credit cards
now. Okay. Yeah, that's true. This one did not take credit cards.
That's true. So you know it's super old.
Yeah.
All right.
Here,
making fun of my vending machine. What are we talking about today?
We've got an article here from Relevant.
All right.
Our friends.
Yes. By author John Pavlovitz.
We've talked about him before.
Probably. Yeah. I know him. You know,
we're
buds.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, John Pavlovitz.
Yeah. Is it Pavlovitz? I've always heard it Pavlovitz.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
Okay.
I like Pavlovitz more. So
however you want to say it. I was just curious. I thought I was saying it wrong. That's fine.
I've never seen it or heard it. I've only seen it in print.
Because it's Pavlovian. Like a Pavlov. That was Pavlovian.
Maybe we
response.
Could call him and see how he does
sure.
it.
Is there a number on the thing? We'll do a live on air.
Unfortunately, his number he did not include in his article from Relevant.
Well, who is this guy?
Lame.
Call me if you have questions about my pronunciation of my last name. All right. Pavlovitz, however you want to say it. All right. The question headline is, have we made the Bible into an idol?
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Okay. Right off, hot off the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's the podcast.
So thanks for joining us this week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Have we made the Bible into an idol? Okay. I can tell you, I follow Relevant on Facebook.
Ooh.
So
you really are friends.
I'm very good friends with Relevant. I've commented on a handful of articles.
Uh-huh.
This is not one I commented on, but I can tell you, I looked at the comments.
Ooh. Yeah.
Contentious.
People not a fan.
Not a fan.
That's funny.
So
I really liked
that. Was it
article.
Contentious because people were arguing with him, or were they arguing with each other? So like some were on each side of the
They were arguing with the headline.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't think many of them read the article.
Even better.
They read that headline because that's what is on like Facebook and you click on the link to go to the actual article. And they're like, nah.
Not even engaging.
Not on my Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way. Basically, like, it is the inspired word of God. You know, that's my that's my imitation of a Facebook comment. So, like,
would it be like where inspired word of God all has periods after
right.
it? Yeah. And they're all in caps. And
right.
It's like, yeah.
That's how I would do it. You know, if you're going to comment, get some flair in there. All caps, that's boring.
Yeah.
You want periods. You want caps. You want ellipses. You want quotes. You want all of it.
Yeah.
If you're going for it, go for it.
Go big or go
home. Troll hard.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Here we go. The Bible says it. I believe it, and that settles it. Have we heard this phrase before?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So many times.
Yeah, this is how the article starts. This is certainly something I've heard. I've seen people say. I'm going to say, when people say this, they don't actually mean it.
What they think it means.
Yeah. What does the Bible say that we are saying this about? They don't know. Yeah. We don't know.
What is it that it says?
Right. Well, yeah.
It says it.
But it says it.
What?
Yeah. It
says it.
And that settles it. Okay.
Sorry, I already said that settles it. I said good day, sir.
All right. Yeah, we've all heard this before. But, you know, I think this kind of captures sometimes American Christianity's relationship with this ancient, mysterious text. Mm-hmm. It's very authoritative. And I'm going to say, okay, it should be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you on the authoritative.
Sure.
You know, but this phrase, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, can lead us to this place that the question is asking, have we made the Bible into an idol?
Yeah.
All right.
So I think we need to think about, what does it mean to have an idol?
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a fun place for us to start. Fun maybe is not the right word.
Yeah. I love idols.
An appropriate place to start. Yeah. So, I mean, biblically, right? I mean, we think about, there are commands about idols, right? God says, mm-hmm. you shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make any graven image. You shall not make an idol for yourself.
Yeah.
And the first things that...
He says, sweet, we're making a statue.
Exactly. The first thing they do is like, cool, golden cow. Right. Let's do it. It's going
to
be...
In fairness, they had not gotten those rules yet.
Had they not?
Moses is up on the mountain.
Moses got the rules. They hadn't gotten it.
He got the advanced copy.
That's right.
You know, he got...
So just after Moses gets the advanced copy... He's like, oh, no.
Whoopsie.
They already blew it. This is not going to go well. So that's, I mean, idols are like a no-go, right? So we're not supposed to have, because idols distract us from proper worship of God, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God cannot be captured or contained or held within any sort of tangible thing, right? You know, mm-hmm. you can't build a statue and say, this is God. No, God is not that. God is bigger than that. God is broader than that. And so God cannot be limited by these things. And so rather, even in the temple, right? I mean, you'd have a temple for Zeus or a temple for Artemis, and all of them would have idols where you would go and you'd say, this is the God and this is who you pray to. But the Jewish temple would not have an idol because God dwelled in the temple, but God was never contained in the temple, right? It was always an understanding that God was bigger than that. So we're not supposed to have idols.
Correct.
And so idols are bad. So we should start there. Idols are bad because idols are saying this thing is more important to us than anything else. This is what this is what we put our trust and our value and everything else in. And so the question really is, are we putting our trust and our value and our faith in the Bible over in God?
Yes.
That is ultimately the question that we're asking. And I think that's a helpful way for us to frame it. Are we putting our trust first in God, or are we putting our trust first in the Bible so that God looks the way that we think God should look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, and I think this is where I think we kind of get off track a little bit, because in scripture, in the ancient world, idols were a very tangible thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in our world, none of us are like, oh, I should take down that statue on my fireplace that I kneel before every morning.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on me. My bad. You know, like,
I get it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, like, we don't have that kind of relationship with the word idol that the ancient world did. And so when we have to think about what do I idolize? What is the idols in my life? Oftentimes, these are things that are good, valuable, important things that we have elevated too high.
Sure.
Not just bad things that we put our trust and faith in.
Right.
It's very possible our families can be idols, our careers can become idols, our churches can become idols, our religious denominations become idols, our wealth. Things that are very good, positive, important, and have value and meaning in our life and in our identity, they just get elevated too high. And so is that possible? Can we do that with the Bible? I think is the question here that John Pavlovitz. Me and John Pavy and I are, you know.
Johnny P.
Yeah, we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so Pastor David, you're coming in hot with a yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to let's talk about that, or do you want to go through the article?
No, I think I can. Yeah, I can riff on this one. I got that. So here's the thing, right? What do we look to the Bible to be able to do for us, mm-hmm. right? Are we looking to the Bible, and you know, John will get into this as well. Are we looking to the Bible as a way to journey towards God, or are we looking at the Bible as the destination? Are we saying, here's the answer, the Bible says it, and I believe it, done? Or are we looking at the Bible to say, how is this helping me encounter a God who is living and breathing and active in the world around me and was 2,000 years ago and continues to be active in the world now? How is this book helping me experience that God mm-hmm. that is present with me? One of the things that's actually happening on our fellow podcast, The Bible Project, which we often reference on our Bible series, right? They're going through a series right now, which I would highly recommend, where they're talking about their paradigm, their understanding for how they read a scripture. Mm-hmm. And one of the pieces that they bring to it is that it is what they call meditation literature. And the concept of that is that you're not supposed to read the Bible once and have a perfect understanding. You're supposed to read the Bible over and over and over and over and over and over throughout your entire life. And as you do that, the scripture becomes ingrained in your life and you become aware of how God is present and moving in your world. The scripture is not the destination. The scripture mm-hmm. is a path to encounter God. Mm-hmm. And when we step into this place of idolizing the Bible, we're saying that, you know, we're saying this is what it says and I believe that and I'm done. Then we're limiting God's ability to breathe new life into scriptures, right? Because our understanding and our interpretation of how God is at work in the world has changed throughout the history. God has not necessarily changed. Our awareness of God has changed and continues to shift. So we no longer think that that God condones slavery because we've said, yeah, it talks about this within a context, but our understanding of humanity has shifted. And so mm-hmm. we're going to move away from that. And we think that's faithful, right? I don't think there are any serious Christians in the United States or otherwise who would say a faithful move is to own slaves, right? I don't think that's a position that we're going to take.
There probably are some somewhere.
You might be some right.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen some on the internet.
In the dark corners, yeah.
That's fair. I would like to think that doesn't exist. Yeah. Right. Screaming in all caps with periods and ellipses. But our understanding of how God is active in the world shifts. And when we just say, Bible says it, I believe it, that's lifting up the Bible to say, this has the final word. And rather than giving God the space to use God's spirit to breathe new life into these ancient words mm-hmm. for our current time and place.
It's not just that either. I think it's just such an easier approach at the end of the day. We're lazy, right? And so it's easier to just say, well, this is what it says. That means I don't have to think about it. I don't have to engage with this. And I don't have mm-hmm. to do any of the hard work of the gray areas. I mm-hmm. can just say, well, mm-hmm. this is it. Even if it's uncomfortable for some people, even if it actively trods on some people.
Yeah.
Then that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I've encountered people who've like slammed down the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. They're saying that settles it kind of like for you, for mm-hmm. the other people mm-hmm. in the room. Like rarely is it like, hey, the Bible says this thing to me that makes me have to live my life differently and change dramatically how I spend my money, how I engage with the world, how I speak mm-hmm. to others. And that settles it. So I have to change these things right now about myself. Usually it's oftentimes you need to change those things you're doing, whether right. that is sexual issues, whether that is as simple as like getting a tattoo, whether that is.
I forgot that those were controversial. It's been a long time since I've heard that argument.
Only in the Old Testament. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's controversial in big parts of Christendom.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only because of the Old Testament.
Because your body's a temple.
Yeah. Or, I mean, how we, you know, blank, whatever it is.
You don't graffiti the temple.
Do you graffiti the temple? Have someone said that to you? Has someone said you don't graffiti the temple?
Yes.
That is an interesting interpretation.
I went to Bible college.
Okay. I've not heard that. All right.
Yeah.
That's completely off topic. But anyway, that's fine.
It's fascinating snapshot.
Well, and I think when we say that, we're also saying something about the Bible mm-hmm. that's not true.
That it's not saying about itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That we want desperately a book that we can go open, point to,
it
gives
manual.
Easy, mm-hmm. obvious instructions for what it means to be a Christian engaging with culture in 21st century America, you know, halfway around the world and 2,000 years after the Bible was, you know, put together by people that we don't even know their names, you know, like we want that.
Dubious authorship.
Yeah, we want that. And that's just not it. Like, that is not what the Bible is. And so saying these things, it just settles it, is saying, I want the Bible to be easy, simple, and comfortable and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the book we have.
Yeah, which is the whole reason that Aaron casts an idol of the golden calf in the first place, right? They want a god that's easy and comfortable that they can point to and say, look, here's our god, rather than having this big mysterious god that's in thunder and lightning up on a mountain talking to Moses for a really long time. Like, we don't understand that. We want something that we can understand. And so I think idols are a lot about us trying to control whatever the thing is that we have. And so we're trying to control God by putting God into this golden calf, or we're trying to control the Bible by turning it into this thing that it's not meant to be.
Yeah. And so when we say the Bible can be turned into an idol, and I think for much of Christendom, it maybe has been, maybe even sometimes including by me, you know, like that doesn't mean we're saying the Bible is not the inspired word of God.
Sure.
Doesn't mean we're not saying the Bible isn't useful for, I know that a verse that was quoted often in that comments thread, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Sure.
All those things are true.
It's a good one. Is that Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
I think it's, yeah.
We'll go with it.
Sure. It's either Thessalonians or Timothy. It's one of the T's.
Yeah. Or Titus.
It's not that one. It's not Titus.
Not that T.
It's not that T.
Yeah. Those things are still true. Even if I think the Bible can be elevated that way, I still think that is true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the words, and I think we've talked about this in the past, is this word, like, is the Bible infallible? Maybe let's get there. Like, and that means without error.
Yeah, or inerrant. Inerrancy is the other word we throw around with this.
Yeah, infallible and inerrant. Yeah. So that's a little, inerrant would be.
No error. Does not err.
Yes.
Or is in errors. I don't know. Yeah.
Bible's in errors? Yeah.
Bible's an error. You heard it here first.
I don't know. Latin's hard.
So, so major points of Christendom would say yes.
Yeah. And... Yeah, so I've been doing some research on this recently and reading some material about biblical inerrancy in general. Our understanding of biblical inerrancy has really shifted in the United States within the last, like, well, okay, 80s, so 40 to 50 years, right?
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
I almost said 20 years, and I was like, oh, that doesn't go back far enough.
Maybe it'll always be 20 years ago. Yeah.
Anyway, so within the last 40 years, like, our understanding of inerrancy has really shifted. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to that, biblical inerrancy... was an understanding that all of Scripture was true, not that it was intended to be historical fact, right? So, and so there's truth in all of Scripture because God is revealing truth about the existence of humanity, about God's work to redeem all of humanity. And so all of Scripture is inerrant in that sense because there's nothing in there that's not true about God or God's nature, but it's not meant to present historical fact. Well, within the last 40, 50 years, that biblical inerrancy has been co-opted to say, no, it's all historically true. So you get 6,000-year creation theory. I mean, that goes back further than that as well. But you get the 6,000-year creation and stories. You get the literal 7 days of creation. You get this understanding that everything in the Bible has to be literal historical fact, as if the Bible were a seventh grade history textbook saying, here's what happened in World War II. So our understanding of inerrancy has shifted. And I think it's the original understanding of inerrancy and that all the Bible contains truth, I'm all for. I'm on board. Yep. Yeah, I can get behind that. That doesn't mean that every word in the Bible is true the way you think it's true, but every Bible or every word of the Bible contains truth. But within the ELCA, we use the phrasing, rather than the inerrant word of God, we use the word inspired word of God, or God breathed would be another way to think of inspired, right? And so it's from the mouth of God, it is from the words of God, and we use that to understand how God is active and at work in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the word trustworthy. I think that's the word I kind of like to use when I look at, like, is the Bible trustworthy? And I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always mean it is... quote unquote factual.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Because we do, I mean, even if you believe in biblical inerrancy, you're going to find areas where the Bible does sometimes contradict itself in sometimes small ways. You know, like some gospels at the resurrection story have one angel, some have two, some have no angels.
Sure.
Yeah.
The how and Jesus is like raised and who he appears to is like out of order for many, many things. There's John's version of Jesus clearing the temple comes right at the beginning.
Yep.
Everybody else has it right in the middle of Holy Week. So either he did it twice or or we're putting things in different chronological order for stylistic or, you know, or authorship reasons.
Yeah, because we're not writing a textbook. Yeah. That's not their purpose.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think you lose a lot when you approach it that way, too. When everything has to be factual
Absolutely.
To the nth degree, then you miss all of this, the subtleties of the different type of literature and writing that you're looking mm-hmm. at and the mm-hmm. different ways that you could interact with them.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think the other way, and he's going to get into this, so we can make the Bible into an idol,
mm-hmm.
is it becomes the destination, not the tool to get us to the destination. Yep. And that would mean the Bible becomes the destination when the point of being a Christian
mm-hmm.
is to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
has always been my issue with like Bible memorization and stuff like that, yeah. which I don't want to knock. Like Bible memorization can be a very useful skill and a very useful spiritual gift, right? Being able to recall Bible verses and have those, you know, at a fingertips notice when you're in a moment of crisis or when you're with someone, like that can be a useful thing. But when we make that the purpose, right? When all of our Sunday school is just, you have to know these verses or mm-hmm. you're, I don't know if you pass Sunday school, whatever, right? But mm-hmm. you know, you have to know these verses. When that's our purpose, we're not opening ourselves up to what's happening in scripture, right? Which is what we try to do in confirmation here at Lord of Life. We have, we have our kids move through the stories so that they get a sense of what is the story pointing to? What are we being drawn into through mm-hmm. these stories? Most of them probably don't walk away from this being able to say, oh, well, I know that King David ruled before Solomon, and Solomon ruled before Adonijah, and Adonijah ruled before Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, which, you know, they don't walk away saying that, but hopefully they walk away saying, well, I know the Old Testament is telling a story about how humanity is broken and how God is constantly working to redeem it, right? Maybe not in those words, but hopefully they're getting that out of the year of confirmation. And if you walk away from the Bible with that, I think you have a much broader understanding of God and how God is active in the world than if you're just walking away with, well, I know all of the kings in their order and how long they ruled, right? It's kind mm-hmm. of like,
yeah.
do you understand how government works, or did you just memorize the state capitals, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference there.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I think, too, with this kind of idea, like the Bible becomes the point and not a tool mm-hmm. on the destination. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when we kind of get into these, you know, and it calls back into this infallibility. What I think when we really are saying, or Christians are really saying the Bible is infallible, what they really are saying is, my interpretation of yes. the Bible is infallible.
Yeah. Right, because I'm infallible.
Right.
And so, are like, the way I read these verses, that's what's infallible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it removes sometimes the air of mystery, mm-hmm. Of uncertainty, mm-hmm. and so what I'm saying, the best thing we can say is, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know, and saying like, there are areas that are, well, somewhat gray and mm-hmm. somewhat undiscovered,
mm-hmm.
and maybe always will be.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and maybe we'll never have a certainty with these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of ironic because I think so much of that attitude comes down to an impulse to control, either to control
oh, for sure.
outside forces or to control our own experience. Like, if we do A, B, C, D, mm-hmm. you know, as listed in the Bible or as perceived as listed in the Bible, then good things will happen.
Yeah.
Eternal salvation, blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it so much of that is contrary to what the Bible actually says, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The, you know, there is that gray area that we can't control stuff. So yeah. it's, I find it
Yeah, I mean, we also
funny.
Have a lot of people who are, you know, heavy on the, well, the Bible says it, so I believe it, when we talk about, maybe we talk about LGBTQ issues, or maybe mm-hmm. we talk about women's role in ministry or things mm-hmm. like that, right? Oh, yeah, that's hard line. But when Jesus gets up and says, hey, blessed are the poor, you know, he was a metaphor, and it's
right.
like it was talking about that, like, and so
sure.
all of us do this, right? Yeah. I don't mean to say like I don't do this. All of us do this. Some of us just admit that we do that, and we're willing to say, yes, I do this because I'm prayerfully using the tool that is given to me to try to understand how God is at work in the world,
right.
and I think God is at work in the world by blessing the poor. Like
yeah.
That's
yeah. yeah, for sure. We all want to use cultural context when
yeah.
we mm-hmm. buck up against the Bible says something weird and that
yeah.
we don't want to be completely true.
Yeah,
whether those things you mentioned, whether it's James talking about woe to basically employers, like you're all exploiting
yep.
your workers,
yeah. mm-hmm.
like
awkward.
Every one of you
are bad,
and leaves no room for some of you are pretty good. Like,
nope, you're all terrible.
So I mean, like, that creates like kind of these odd, interesting, challenging subjects.
Mm-hmm.
For what do we do with it? And if we're looking at the Bible and we're reading it through, well, a language that's been translated into for us by someone else from a different
mm-hmm,
culture
mm-hmm.
and a different understanding, and we see a God who thinks like I do,
mm-hmm.
sees the world like I do, mm-hmm. who would vote like I would,
mm-hmm.
Who likes who I like and doesn't like who I don't like, that's when we've made the Bible into an idol.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
when we're seeing a God who looks like me. That's when things have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not seeing a God who is complex, challenging, mysterious, and who is hard to live like and understand, that's when, well, that's how it should be read and how it's, yeah. how it's supposed to be, convey the image of God to us.
Yeah. I will say, and this is a limited experience for me, but I've never met someone who has taken seriously the opportunity to study biblical languages, to study Hebrew or to study Greek, and to really dig into that. I've never met someone who's done that process and come out the other side saying, oh yeah, the Bible should be understood to be like hard inerrantly mm-hmm. true this way, right?
Right.
Even people who come out with a very different understanding of what I think is happening in Scripture, they would come out saying that God is working through this text, right? Because there's translation. There's things that happen that don't make sense in our culture that they have to be shaped. But so often we say like, oh, I read this thing in English, or I read this thing in the King James English, and that's how it's supposed to be, and that's how God intended it to be mm-hmm. written. Well, guess what? We have a lot better resources for translating now than we did when they did the King James version of the Bible.
Right.
And I don't have any idea what the new King James is like, so maybe that one's better, but still, like, so much of our culture is like, this is the one, you know, we have to read the new King James, or we have to read the NIV, or we have to, even Lutheran saying we have to read the NRSV or the ESV, right? All of that is limiting our understanding of who God is and how God is at work, because it is one person or group of people's interpretation of ancient texts trying to translate that into our modern context. We have to let God have room to work and to breathe in that, both in their process of translating it and in our process of reading and interpreting it for a community. I think the other piece of the idol that comes in here is when we start doing biblical study on our completely independently. Right. And, you know, if we think about idol worship, so often idol worship is this thing that you have in your home. It's this very personal thing. Mm-hmm. And I think when we turn the Bible into this very personal thing that I hold close to me and I have the right answers because I've been reading the Bible without any other resources from other people, we're deeply misunderstanding how the Bible was intended to be read. It was always intended to be read in community, especially the New Testament letters were all meant to be read by communities and interpreted by communities for communities. And yeah, so when we take that and make it my Bible that I understand, it's absolutely becoming idolatrous. I almost said idolrific, but that's...
Idolrific.
I don't think idolrific is actually a word, which is tragic. I think idolrific should be a word.
That makes it sound like terrific.
Yeah, and it's idolrific.
Idolrific.
Sure, like Kelly Clarkson is idolrific.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Yeah, that was a good throwback. Yeah, because she was on American Idol.
Sure. Idol yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. Got it.
She was the original, right?
She was the original, no? and arguably,
I don't think so. Reuben Studdard.
No, she was the first one.
Was she?
Because it was her and that curly-haired boy.
Reuben Studdard.
Not Reuben Studdard. Reuben Studdard was against Clay Aiken.
Oh. That was years later.
Clay Aiken was way more successful than Reuben Studdard.
A lot of the...
Marginally.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson, I think, is... Her and Carrie Underwood are the only real...
Carrie Underwood came out of Idol?
Only real success stories from American Idol of, like, you know, whatever, 20 seasons of it. I think they're the only real, you know, who had a tangible career as winners. I think a couple of people had careers, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard a number of like the second place people went on to have better careers because they weren't locked into the same contracts that the winners were.
Interesting.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
We digress.
Yeah.
They're all idols.
Yeah. Okay. So if you
throw them all into the eternal fire.
Wow.
These idols.
All right. So if the Bible is not an idol, how should we approach it?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think using it as a tool is a helpful way to start, right? That we see it as an opportunity for something that's almost like a window. Rather than a painting that we're looking at. It's a window that we're looking through to try to see God at work in our world.
Mm-hmm.
That's a metaphor that I just came up with. I kind of like that
one.
Yeah, I
like that too.
I'm going to stick with that.
I'm not going to say anything because I'm not going to add on to that.
Yeah.
What kind of window would it be?
Stained glass.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I think a bay, you know.
Like. A bay window.
A bay window.
You get to sit in it. You're just surrounded by the windows.
Yeah. French doors.
Okay. I don't like French. Can it be a different kind of door?
Johnny P. also describes it as a photo album.
Oh, okay.
So it's a way to see our faithful family in action, mm-hmm. see how they approach things, see how they've experienced life, and use that as inspiration on how I should do my own.
Okay.
And I think both of those are fun analogies. They don't probably can't fully capture what it is.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Nor should we be able to. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I lied. I'm going to say something. I've always thought of it as an account of God's interaction with his people.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we teach our confirmation students, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's how God is at work in one group of people's experience. Yeah. How is God at work? And that ultimately gives us a sense of how God is at work in mm-hmm. the experience of the entire world.
Yes. And he concludes with this, and I think that this is an important maybe way for us to think about as we end here. Instead of the Bible says it, I believe it, mm-hmm. that settles it. He says maybe a better thing, it's maybe not quite as catchy on a bumper sticker, would be to say the Bible appears to say this in this particular passage. I think I believe that interpretation, and now let's talk about it.
Yeah, that doesn't fit on a bumper sticker.
It doesn't. It doesn't look good next to the Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I don't have as much fun typing that angrily into my computer. Yeah.
But I think that is a healthy way to say that. Like, yeah. I think that this is what the Bible is saying here. I think I believe that, but let's talk about this. Let's engage with it and with one another instead of using that. I think when we encounter hard verses, mm-hmm. there are two ways that we make it like, the Bible says it, I believe it, or the Bible says it and I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And we just like black or white immediately on every one of those hard verses, and either we continue moving on or we jump off the train right then.
Yep.
Yeah.
But by opening up to saying like, let's talk about it,
it
keeps people on the train, I think, a little longer, and I open it for a little bit more discussion. Yep. And I don't think that diminishes the beauty, the majesty, and the importance of the Bible, nor its trustworthiness, by saying, let's talk about what that means in our communities.
I hear that. Yep. That's great. Good stuff.
Yeah.
There we go. Bible is an idol. Don't kneel down before your Bible. Kneel down before your God.
There's the bumper sticker.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not sure that one's going to sell.
No.
T-shirts.
We'll work on it.
Yeah. We'll take it
to the think tank.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked today's episode, be sure to write in and let us know. You asked a question earlier. I don't remember. How do you eat your Pop-Tarts? That's it. Write in. Let us know. BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com. How do you eat your Pop-Tarts?
And what's the best part of the Thanksgiving meal?
And what's the... Okay.
It's the pie.
And the best part... Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Or the rolls.
Yeah. Anything that has a carb in it, really.
Okay, all right. So anyway, you can find all of our episodes at BeyondSundayPodcast.com. Be sure to like, rate, review. When you're at your Thanksgiving meal, turn on Beyond Sunday in the background. Let everybody enjoy our podcast.
Yes. As you have your put your guests to sleep faster.
Like, no political talk.
Right.
Listen Beyond to Beyond Sunday.
Kind of. Yeah. Sometimes it gets political. Sometimes it gets cultural. Sometimes it gets biblical.
It's a little something for everybody.
Usually sort of stupid. So
a little something for everybody. Yeah. You got something for Uncle Eddie. You got something for Clark. You got some. I'm going through the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation family here, just in case.
That's for Christmas, not for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, this don't have a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, Advent Planes, season. Trains, and Automobiles is a Thanksgiving movie, so it's for your Steve Martins or your John Candy.
Sure. There you go. It's got something for everybody. All right. That's it. I'm out.
All right. Thanks for listening, buddy. We'll be back next week. We'll even coming back next week after the week of Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Even though Elise is in Disney, we're on vacation.
Yeah, we're coming back though. We're coming coming at you hot at the beginning of Advent. We're ready for it.
Oh, Advent!
Is that when
get out of here.
All of the worst. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.